Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we are on a lively Tuesday in L.A. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. We had 8.5 million podcast listens, by the way, in the last month. So thank you to everybody.
Wow. Thank you, everyone.
Close to a new record for us. It was a great January. It was a great NFL season. I got 5-6 changes I want in the league. I'll talk about that next hour. Peter King next hour. Joy Taylor is joining me. So football, you think it's over, but remember, we're 4 or 5 weeks out from free agency, and now some guys want to get paid, Joy.
A lot of guys want to get paid a lot of money.
Let's start with that. Dak Prescott has been a good quarterback, 12th, 13th best in the league, about where I have him. But he's been a great leader. He's been a great cowboy. Jerry Jones has defended him, and he loves him, and he's his guy. And in September, they were talking about paying him a lot of money. Remember that, Stephen Jones is like, that's our guy. I'm going to pay him a lot of money. And suddenly, they don't want to pay him. Prescott told the Dallas Morning News, David Moore, reporter, quote, be sure to report, I won't be working out anywhere near the star. As the article says here, by Dak's choir boy standards, that was somewhere between a fist in the air and a middle finger to cowboy management. His contract's expired. Mike McCarthy wants him in OTAs, and he's not around the facility. Now, I get Dak wanting to get paid. I haven't paid him anything. He wins division titles. His numbers are good. Aesthetically, sometimes he doesn't look quite the part. But why suddenly wouldn't they want to pay him? I'll tell you what it is. This is my opinion. That Philadelphia game, it hurt Dak. Dak had the better O-line, way better wide receiving core, way better running back, and he could not score a touchdown against a middle-of-the-pack Philadelphia Eagle defense. Carson Wentz had nothing. Lawn furniture and deck chairs. I mean, Greg Ward was his best receiver, former college quarterback. And Carson Wentz completed 77% of his throws, 320 yards passing, a passer rating of 108, and was dealing with nothing. That game hurt Dak. Listen, you can talk about deserve. It's about earn. Last game under your contract, you go on the road, and Jerry and Stephen Jones are saying, we gave you not only a better offensive line, the best offensive line in the NFL, probably the second best receiving group outside of Kansas City, arguably the best running back, middle of the pack defense. We couldn't score a touchdown against Philadelphia. And Carson Wentz carried that team for a month with major injuries. And there are these individual moments in life, sports or not, where people are going to judge you. And I think that game, I mean, you folks are bagging on Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo took a team to the Super Bowl and led Patrick Mahomes 20-10 in the fourth, and you all think he's overpaid, and he's making $27 million. And Jerry's supposed to pay Dak $36 million. That's reportedly what Dak wants. So let me just tell you about the way at quarterbacks it works for me. There are very few blank check guys in the NFL for me at quarterback. There's two. Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Here's the check. Fill in the number you want. Blank check. I like your brains. I like your leadership. I like your arm. I like your playmaking. I like your coachability. And you elevate everybody around you. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Blank check. Now, I like Carson Wentz a lot, but because of his injuries, he's not a blank check guy. What about Lamar Jackson? He's never won a playoff game. I'm not sure he can play from behind consistently. What about Deshaun Watson? I like him. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, last couple of years. Am I wrong here? He looks a little old. Aaron's not Aaron. His numbers came down this year with a new coach that was supposed to be so great and progressive. So the reality is, after Mahomes and Russell Wilson, I'm negotiating hard on everybody. I'm not giving you a player-friendly deal. I also know if you look at the recent three drafts, T. 10 out of the last 12 first-round quarterbacks, even the one with big flaws, have worked. Outside of Josh Rosen, injuries, they've all worked to some degree. Sam Darnold's working. Baker's working to some degree. We don't know on Dwayne Haskins, and Josh Rosen hasn't worked. So this is one of these things where I think the Philadelphia game really hurt Dak. I mean, if my company didn't know whether to pay me a lot and they think they like me, and all of a sudden I don't have a great last year and my last show is a disaster, I mean, it's going to make people pull back a little bit. So according to reports, it's a franchise deal. Dak's not happy, and I get Dak not being happy. I get it. I'm not banging on Dak for being upset. Not at all. He's won a lot of games and a division. But I also get Dallas being concerned. Do you know this? Once you get paid a lot of money, you can't win Super Bowls. I'll give you an example. The Peyton Manning, as a cap hit, was ninth. The last eight Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, their league-wide cap hit rank. Mahomes is 343rd in the league. You can't. Peyton Manning's the only top 10. That was in 2015 when that defense carried him in Denver. That's it. Once you're a top 10 cap hit, and if you're making $36 million a year, you don't win Super Bowls. And we know Jerry's goal, he said it many times at this point, it's not about money. I got to win Super Bowls. You put a guy there. Now, right now, Patrick Mahomes is still low on that ranking. Kansas City could pay him now, but they're probably thinking, why? We don't want the big cap hit yet. So this is tense. I get Dak's bitterness. But outside of Mahomes and Russell Wilson, I'm negotiating hard with everybody. All right, let's segue to this. The New York Post. It is a fine newspaper owned by my boss. I think they do terrific work. Excellent paper, Mr. Murdoch. But they had a story this morning I'm going to push back on a little. May I do that? Headline, New York Post. Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan being exposed raises major 49er concerns. Excuse me? New York Post person, I'm going to give you two teams with major concerns. Let's start with the Giants and the Jets. Rosters, coaches, general managers. I would go Giants-Jets. Why don't you stick to those local teams? Because the Niners don't have any problems. First of all, it's Overreaction Tuesday. Second of all, what always hurts Super Bowl winning losing teams. Here's what ends dynasties, and here's what hurts really, really, really good teams. Age. Rams got really old on the offensive line. Their center retired. You lose top coordinators. Okay, those two things. Niners have kept both coordinators. Neither landed a head job, and the Niners are really young. And then you look at, you know, schedule and who do you play. I'll get to that in a second. There were 12 teams that made the playoffs last year. 12 teams. Ravens, Chiefs, Patriots, Texans, Bills, Titans, Niners, Packers, Saints, Eagles, Seahawks, Vikings. I can look at several of those teams and say, I just don't know. I think they'll pull back. I think Baltimore will be good next year. I don't think they're going to be like 14-2 and 13-3 good. I think they caught the league off guard a little. I think they'll pull back. Texans. They are my fall through the floor team in the NFL next year. You can't keep asking Deshaun Watson to save the franchise. Bills, I think they pull back. I think the Jets and the Dolphins are both better. Titans, you really think that magical run happens again? They don't know who their quarterback is. Packers, they'll be good. I don't think they win 13. Saints, who's the quarterback? Vikings, what happens if they start out 2-2? Kirk Cousins loses a big primetime game. I'd make the argument in his last year they could lose the locker room. Kirk Cousins is about to lose that locker room, losing any more big TV games against really good teams. San Francisco is not pulling back. I'm not guaranteeing a Super Bowl. Age, no problem. Coordinators didn't lose them. They're probably not going to re-sign Jimmy Ward because they can't afford him. He's good, gets hurt a little bit. I doubt he gets re-signed. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but I wouldn't be surprised if they move off him. The other thing is look at San Francisco's schedule. I've got it here. They play the AFC East and the NFC East. They get the Bills, Miami, Philly, and Washington at home. I'll take my chances. They have to go on the road to the Giants and the Jets. I'll take my chances. Yes, winning at Dallas can be tough occasionally, and winning at New England's never easy. But San Francisco is the daunting team on everybody's schedule, not vice versa. New York Post, good paper. Writer, I'm sure, a good guy. There are no concerns with the San Francisco 49ers. They may not win as many games as last year, and they may not make the Super Bowl. No big pullback here at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So timing, you know, timing in life is, you know, it's kind of everything, right? Like, and the other thing is, you know, guys are different. You know, guys are driven often, not always, but primarily by their professional career. I can't speak for what drives women, but for men, you know, high achievement matters, makes you feel better, blah, blah, blah. So Brady's got $500 million in the bank. He's got all the trophies. But there's this thing guys say all the time, respect. You got to show me respect. And Brady wants more money. The timing here is not good. Let me explain it. So this is very un-Brady-like. He's taken pay cuts his entire life because, you know, it worked. So Tom now wants the most money off his worst season and when the Patriots actually need to finally spend money on wide receivers. The timing's not great. But Tommy's taken a lot of pay cuts. I talked to two Patriot employees in the last week. Money matters, but the other issue for Tom, and it's the bigger issue, is they're slow. New England offensively is slow. N'Keal Harry, I've been told by a former Patriot player, they like him. He's got a good catching radius. He can't separate. Mohamed Sanu, they like him. He can't separate. Edelman, slot receiver. They don't have people who can separate. So money matters for Tom. And according to Tom Curran, the best reporter, in my opinion, that covers the Patriots in Boston, he said this morning he's been told in excess of $30 million for Brady. Okay, so the timing's weird on this. Now think about this. So the start of the NFL year is actually contractually March 18th. That's the start of the year. That's when the official season starts in the NFL for the bookkeepers, March 18th. If the Patriots pay Tommy before then, it's less of a cap hit. So New England wants to pay Tom in the next 6 weeks. Okay, then the cap hit is not nearly as much. And that's what Belichick does, right? We don't want a big cap hit. The problem is, then Tom Brady has to trust that Belichick can draft a good receiver. I don't know. They can't do that ever. And B, or he'll spend a bunch of money in free agency for a wide receiver. He doesn't do that either because he's been paying Edelman $5 million a year, and Edelman's wildly productive. Why is he going to go spend $15 million on a wide receiver? So Brady, if he wants the money, he's going to have to get it before, you know, March 19th. And that's going to help the Patriots. And according to Tom Curran, they're going to pay him. But then it just becomes trust. Do you trust Belichick to draft a good speedy receiver? I don't. It's not what he does well. They've got another issue. Timing's everything. Joe Thuney's their best offensive lineman. He's a guard. He's a free agent. Belichick, this line hasn't had a Pro Bowler in 7 years. The offensive line's not very good. They also need a quarterback, a succession plan. So the Patriots have 7 draft picks. They got to address quarterback after Brady, offensive line, get a speed receiver, and Bill doesn't like to pay money for skill people. If Tom wants his money, he'll probably get his money, but the timing's not good here. There's a lot of dates. Tom's just going to have to trust people, and the Patriots, according to Tom Curran, they're going to give him over $30 million, $32 million. The only way they're going to pay him that is if they can get him that March 18th or before. That's it. And then for Tom, trust Belichick to draft a receiver? Because they're going to take a quarterback with one of those 7 picks, and they're going to take an offensive lineman with one of those 7 picks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It's mock draft time. It was so funny. I woke up this morning. I love mock drafts. And I literally felt it. I felt, you know, I always feel pressure during Super Bowl week. Got to have good shows for Fox. And then Monday, post-Super Bowl, it's a big show. And I woke up this morning and I'm like, football season's over, except for the XFL. But the NFL season's over in college until Labor Day. And so it's like 6 months now of I got other stuff. It's a little bit of the pressure. But then I'm thinking to myself, I love this feeling because we move into stuff I care about. I love the draft. I love free agency. As Joy said yesterday, nobody loves the draft like I do, outside of maybe, you know, Mel Kiper. I love the NFL draft. So a mock draft came out today, Todd McShay. My takeaway is he's got quarterbacks way too low. 11 of the first 20 picks are offense or defensive linemen. I think he's got quarterbacks way low. He doesn't have Jordan Love anywhere in the first round. He's got Herbert going, you know, middle of the first round. There's something happening in the NFL, and this is one of the things I love about sports. I've written books about this. I love emerging trends. I love new stuff. And we have a trend going on in the NFL. It is, over the last 4 to 5 years, it is real clear. In fact, let's take the last 3 years. Of the 12 first-round quarterbacks taken, outside of Dwayne Haskins, we don't know, and Josh Rosen, it's not working, injuries, 10 of the 12 can play. The bust rate has plummeted. It used to be a 50-50 proposition. There were years when they were all busts. They're not busting. Why? Three things. We have more progressive coaching, bringing in more college concepts. So the young quarterbacks now feel very comfortable. They take their college concepts. The NFL's put their arms around that, number one. Number two is the NFL's rules are so pro-quarterback and so pro-wide receiver. It's now about sideline to sideline, spread it out. We've never had more good receivers because the best athletes now either go to the NBA or they play quarterback and wide receiver. So you've got really good coaching, putting their arms around the college concepts, bringing it to the NFL. You have more good receivers than ever and more rules designed to help the quarterback. And number three is all these quarterbacks now, all of them come from a generation where they got 10,000 hours. It's the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour rule by the time they were 12. These kids were, now Russell Wilson's a little old. Aaron Rodgers, they didn't grow up in that generation. They just missed it. They're still great, Hall of Famers. But all these kids now played on 7-on-7 camps when they were 9, 10, 11, 12. They are just better now at 17. I mean, I was talking to Drew Bledsoe not long ago on the show, and he's like, I basically had 28 high school football games. That was it. Like, kids now come out with 45 high school games, you know, a ton of camps. They're just more evolved, and they understand the game better. So we have a real trend going on. So what does it mean, Colin? It means is draft a quarterback in the first round. The failure rate has plummeted. So I'm going to give you my prediction. This is my one prediction in the NFL draft. I don't do mock drafts because who knows? Burrow's going to go number one, not because I have any insight. That's what everybody's saying. Tua is going to go number five to Miami. I think they'd be nuts. I don't care about his medical. I think you're nuts. I think he's Drew Brees. He's that accurate. Number six, I think the Chargers. This mock draft has them taking a lineman. Forget it. They're going to take Justin Herbert at Oregon because he's the most talented guy. And I'll make this prediction. Jordan Love goes number seven, either to Carolina, or if Carolina makes the decision over the next month or two that we're going to go with Cam, then somebody's going to move up to that seventh spot and take Jordan Love. It could be the Colts. It may be New England. They need a quarterback that's more mobile. But this kid out of Utah State, 6'4", 225, lively arm, and he's mobile. And are there issues? Yes. But his issues are coachable. Look at the video right here. He is a big, strong, lively arm, mobile athlete out of Utah State. Looks the part. The knock on him is his lower body mechanics are a mess. He hasn't been brilliantly coached. He needs good coaching. He's Josh Allen at Wyoming. Big, lively, athletic arm. He needs coaching. By the way, in most instances, NFL coaching is much better than college coaching. Now, Lincoln Riley is better than some NFL offensive guys. Nick Saban's better than a lot of NFL defensive guys. Dabo Sweeney, there are some really good college coaches. Urban Meyer offensively is smarter than a lot of NFL guys. But by and large, your college coach at a small school, Wyoming, Utah State, is not an NFL coach. Jordan Love, Carolina, Matt Rhule, the Baylor guy, college concepts to pro concepts, if they bail on Cam, and I don't know if they will. They may just say, I'm going to go Cam 2 years. But my takeaway is if they were going to go with Cam, they'd announce it already. Matt Rhule would have said, I like Cam. If they move off Cam, they're taking Jordan Love. That's my only mock prediction. that these quarterbacks now, every time I see a mock draft, it's like Herbert's falling and Tua's falling. No. This mock draft doesn't have Jordan Love anywhere in the first round. I'm telling you right now, I got him going 7. I think he's the kid that's going to pop in the draft. The more you see, the more they'll like. And there's a real Josh Allen thing here. I don't think he has quite the arm of Josh Allen, but the knocks on him are correctable. He did not have great coaching. His lower body mechanics are lousy. You can coach your way out of that. And he's a kid that'll go to the combine, and you're going to look at his arm and his speed, and you're going to go, okay, he's going to be the pop guy. That is my one big mock draft prediction. And by the way, by all you guys out there that do mock drafts, we're all a bunch of nerds, know that if you release a mock draft, I will read it. Maybe not on the air, but
100%.
I'm totally into it. I love McShay, but he's got 20 linemen going.
There's too much of a need for quarterbacks right now.
You got to do it. Carolina needs a quarterback. Chargers need a quarterback. Miami needs a quarterback. Cincinnati needs a quarterback. By the way, New England's got to draft one. Minnesota's got to start drafting one. We got a lot of teams. Indianapolis needs one. From what I read, the Raiders want one.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show on Colin Cowherd's network. If you like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk football, and more football coming up on the show. I used to work in the NFL for Andy Reid. Thoughts on him becoming a Super Bowl champion. Also, Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo. Did they choke? Patrick Mahomes, rock star, and more. Again, 3 and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
The Super Bowl is over. Football morning in America, NBC Sports. Peter King is now joining us via the Cowherd Global Satellite Network. There's a lot of things to discuss. First of all, you sat with Andy Reid right after the game. I picked San Francisco to win. It's the happiest I've ever been to be wrong, because I think Andy, who we text from time to time, is one of my favorite humans of all time. And what was he like after the game when you sat down with him?
Colin, the best way I can describe my, 15 minutes with Andy Reid is that, and I say this not to say what a wonderful guy I am, but it was like he didn't want the time to end. I think the outside world after that was going to be a slew of, Andy here, look over here, Andy, take a picture here, Andy, party this, party, you know, and all that. And Andy has waited for this moment for 21 years. So I think that he didn't want it to end. He wanted it to be about football all night instead of kind of going into celebration mode. And believe me, he'll have a great time celebrating. But I think at this moment, at that moment, he just wanted to keep reliving, you know, the greatest game of his life.
Kyle Shanahan got some heat. I thought it was a little conservative end of the first half. You know, the play calling late, you know, it's tough. When you're facing Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback right now for the next 10 years potentially, I think it's really tough to beat on coaches for play calling, because you have to be somewhat aggressive because no lead is safe. So you're going to pass more than run. I don't think that's a fair criticism. I did think he was a tad conservative end of the first half, but he was buried deep in his territory. Do you buy any of the criticisms on Kyle Shanahan?
Yes, but I only buy one of them. The majority of the criticism, my opinion is, your players have to make plays. And late in this game, Jimmy Garoppolo did not make plays. In his last two series, when it was incumbent on Garoppolo to move this team down the field, I mean, and again, I'm not saying that Kyle Shanahan coached this game with training wheels on Garoppolo, because I really don't think he did, except at the end of the first half. So I find no fault with Shanahan for his play calling late. I find some fault with him in the last 90 seconds of the first half. Every possession against an Andy Reid coached and Patrick Mahomes quarterbacked team is important. You can't just say, okay, we're going to go into halftime, you know, satisfied where we are because we know we're getting the ball at the second half. You know, of course you're happy to be getting the ball at the second half, but you can't surrender a scoring drive potentially with 90 seconds left on the clock and having your timeouts. That's where that's the only place I thought that Kyle Shanahan made a mistake in this game.
You know, I've said this, and I'm an NBA fan. You're a baseball guy, I know. I love the NBA. It's my second favorite sport, and it can be at times a little coastal. The cool kids all want to play in certain cities. I really do think it's valuable that the face of the league now is smack dab in the middle of America, Kansas City. Andy Reid is as relatable. He looks like he bowls every Tuesday night. He's America. When you sat down with Andy talking about Patrick Mahomes, is he even a little surprised this kid is this good this soon?
I said to him flat out, I said, Andy, didn't you have a feeling? He threw the ball right into Fred Warner's, as Mahomes told me after the game, I hit him right between the numbers. And then he throws another interception. And I said, don't you have the feeling? You know, you get into early in the fourth quarter, you're down by 10. It's just not happening. You've only put 10 points up on the Robert Saleh defense. And don't you have the feeling, both in terms of Patrick and your offense, you know, sometimes it's not your day? And he goes, absolutely not. I know that if we got a couple of possessions left, I really think we're going to score touchdowns on both of them. And if you look and see what happened at that point, basically inside of 9 minutes, you think they're going to have two possessions. And their next two possessions, they scored touchdowns. And they got a third possession because the 49ers turned it over. And then they got a third touchdown. So I think Andy was very prescient on that. And I think to some degree, I think that the 49ers basically kind of ran out of ammo on defense after Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Mahomes, basically kind of, you know, they're trying this, trying that. And finally they realized, here's a few things that we know will work. And it started, you know, with 2-3 jet wasp that I wrote about in my column that is going to be to this generation, you know, what Hank Stram's play calling was in Super Bowl IV. And I think that they finally, the dam broke on that San Francisco defense, and Andy Reid understood that he could do that as long as he had long enough time.
Doug Gottlieb was on earlier, and he made a point. He said, it's not when you don't go for it at the end of the half, Kyle Shanahan is telling you he doesn't trust his quarterback. And I was listening to radio yesterday.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've seen it with the Bears and Trubisky. You can watch play calling, whereas Philadelphia, everybody's hurt. They just let Carson Wentz do everything. That tells you the trust factor. Do you believe in San Francisco, the Bay Area this morning, there are those, because Shanahan's rock solid, we know that, but Lynch, Shanahan, there are people that wonder, is Garoppolo the right guy?
Well, I think that's hard to say right now, because Jimmy Garoppolo just finished his first year starting as a quarterback in the NFL.
True.
You know, he has not played anywhere near a full season. In his life, the most he's played is a quarter of a season. And so I don't think they're thinking that right now. I think they believe this is the year that he just mastered this offense.
Yeah.
And now we've got to get him. Now we've got to get him in position to be able to think well on the fly. What would worry me the most about Jimmy Garoppolo in this game is his first turnover in this game when he threw the ball like almost like an old Favre interception.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm getting pressured, so I'm just going to throw it up. That is what they have to worry about. You cannot make throws, especially in a game of a magnitude like that, where you're literally just throwing it out on a wing and a prayer.
Finally, Lamar Jackson won the MVP. I don't have a problem with it. It was unanimous, and I noticed you writing and talking about the same thing I noticed. Love Lamar, but a guy got ignored again. that he was my MVP, Russell Wilson. You had an interesting thought about that.
Here's the thing, Colin. Russell Wilson, since he was a third-round draft choice in 2012, the Seattle Seahawks have played 143 games. Russell Wilson has started every one of those games. He's made the playoffs. They have made the playoffs in 7 of his 8 seasons. He is the second leading quarterback of all time in quarterback rating. He's got an incredible rating. He's got a better one-loss percentage than Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. And this guy has played 8 years, and he is an absolute life preserver every Sunday for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
And in 8 years, 50 votes per year, he's never got an MVP vote.
Absurd.
I just think it's incredibly weird and absurd, quite honestly. But they don't, you know, Colin, they don't do the vote like in baseball, where they vote 1 through 10, all the writers do. You vote in football, and you've got to vote for one guy. Now, occasionally over the years, I've split my vote. But okay, so maybe you vote for two guys. Hey, I voted for Lamar Jackson. He deserved it. But man, that's a weird thing with Russell Wilson, 8 years playing as well as he has, and not one time out of 400 chances has gotten one MVP vote.
NBC Sports, great stuff. Peter King, we'll talk soon, Peter. Thanks.
Thank you, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
A lot of the very good teams in the NFL, half the playoff teams this year, were not in the playoffs last year. You lose about half. Now, I do think it's unique this year because many of the really good teams in the NFL are young. Baltimore's got a lot of young players. So does Kansas City. So does Green Bay. So does San Francisco. So does Seattle. So I do think you will get more than half the playoff teams this year back. But there's going to be one or two major surprises to make the playoffs. Nobody thought Baltimore would be this good. Nobody thought the Titans would make that run. I was surprised New Orleans came back again. They're another team with a lot of good young players. So this is our way early top 10 for next year. Our Herd hierarchy, way too early. Here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams, according to Colin. Number one.
San Francisco is going to play with its hair on fire. They think they outplayed Kansas City and lost. Outside of Jimmy Ward in the secondary, they're not going to lose any free agents. I think they re-sign Emmanuel Sanders. Their receivers are super young. Their defensive line is super young. All their best players, in my opinion, are kids. This team is really built for the future. I think they're the number one team in the NFL next year.
Number two.
Baltimore. Humiliated in the playoffs at home, again, like San Francisco, is going to really have a good offseason. Lamar Jackson made a big leap year 1-2. I don't see that stopping. Now, I do worry about cornerback Jimmy Smith and cornerback Brandon Carr. I thought their cornerback play at the end of the year was sensational. They're both free agents. One's a club option. I would like to see them bring both those back. But this is a running powerhouse. And teams that run the football with that kind of O-line and personnel, they don't go anywhere. You can bring a running game year to year. I think they've got the right elements to be excellent.
Number three.
Kansas City. I don't think they win the Super Bowl. They did. Let's be honest. They got some breaks. They trailed the Super Bowl in the fourth. They got Tennessee and Houston both at home. Lousy defenses. They got some playoff breaks. Didn't have to face the Ravens. Didn't have to face New England again. They got a little bit of a playoff break. I think they're very good. Chris Jones, defensive end, is a free agent. Sign him now. I like him a lot. I'll just say that. Got him at three.
Number four.
I like Philadelphia. First of all, here's the thing about Philadelphia. We all know the injuries, right? They lost their whole receiving corps. They lost all their running backs. Carson Wentz still completed 64% of his throws, 27 TDs, 7 picks, and a 93 passer rating. That's absurd. It's why I love him. They're not going to suffer those injuries. Also, their weakness, speed at receiver, DeSean Jackson comes back, and it's the deepest wide receiver draft perhaps ever. So their issue is very, very solvable. The rest of the team is well-coached, well-run, and I thought Carson Wentz, if you don't think this guy is special after that last 5 weeks, there's nothing I can say. I mean, he was throwing to scout team guys and beat Dallas and got him into the playoffs. Philadelphia, number four.
Number five.
Seattle. By the way, 7 of 8 seasons in Seattle, Russell Wilson's led up to double-digit wins. They got some draft picks. I think their young players are excellent. Hey, if not for a 3 running back injuries in the last 2 weeks. I think they go to Green Bay, win, and they're in the NFC Championship. This is the team we forget. Seattle beat San Francisco. Seattle is a matchup problem for San Francisco. They struggle with Russell Wilson. They just lost all their good running backs and their offensive line. They had massive injuries late, or they go to Green Bay and win. So Seattle surprised me this year. And, I mean, let's be honest. Pete Carroll's strength as a coach is not with veterans. It's teaching young players the game, and they got some really nice young players I think will grow well with Pete Carroll.
Number 6.
I'm going to put the Saints in here because I whiffed on them this year. I thought they'd pull back. They've got terrific young players. They've got all their players that I like bottled up. This is dependent on Drew Brees coming back. Teddy Bridgewater is going to end up, in my opinion, at an Indianapolis, maybe the Chargers, somewhere like that. So they won't have Teddy Bridgewater. That's the free agent they're going to, you know, the guy they're going to lose. And it's dependent on Drew Brees coming back. I don't see him as a Super Bowl team next year, but I think they'll be really good. I'd put him at 6.
Number 7.
New England. They'll be good. It's still a division with a lot of young quarterbacks. As much as we crush Brady, Greg Olsen's out there at tight end. Hunter Henry could be out there. All the young rookie receivers have another year in the system. I think we're over-exaggerating. Do they have the best coach in football? Yes. The last two drafts, they've got a nice set of running backs. They had a lot of injuries. They lost their left tackle. They lost their center. They lost their kicker. They lost their fullback. It was a year in which they got caught with some injuries and they didn't have capable backups. I think they'll be a very good football team in a division with Darnold, Tua, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Allen. They still have Brady.
Number 8.
Rams missed the playoffs. They'll be back. First of all, they were 4th in sacks and 9th in takeaways. They got nothing but playmakers all over this roster. Now, it may be a little top heavy, but they finished 7th in total offense. All we did all year is like, oh, it's mayhem. They were 7th in total offense. They had a center retire. They got rid of a right guard. And then they had that coupled with injuries on the O-line. And it was midseason. They were just bailing water midseason. They're going to draft O-line. They're going to get healthier up front. McVay is still an excellent coach. This is a roster that has Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. I think they have the second or third best receiving core in the NFL with Cooper Kupp. I like their tight ends. I like Robert Woods. They got Brandon Cooks. Let's not go crazy here. I think they need to draft another running back and offensive lineman. This is a good roster. They're back in the playoffs.
Number 9.
Green Bay. I think Green Bay is good. They're very, very young. So that's what I like about them. But let me be honest about Green Bay. They're not winning 13 games. I think they got a little bit of a scheduling break. I think they were exposed against the Chargers and the Niners twice. Folks, they finished 15th in points a game and 18th in total offense. They got one receiver anybody trusts, and so I just don't think offensively. I thought they were kind of average. I do like their last two defensive drafts. I think they will get better, but I think the schedule's tougher. I don't see 13 wins. I think we get closer to 10.
Number 10.
My shock, Denver Broncos. This is my double the win total team. They won 4 of their last 5 games. I think they found their quarterback in Drew Lock, who in his 5 starts completed 64% of his throws, 90 passer rating, and he's just a puppy. Their defense was top 10 last year. So I think they got the quarterback. Second year in Vic Fangio's system. Remember, Bradley Chubb, who never gets hurt, got hurt. So Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are still top 2 or 3 ends. Great duo. And this division is, who's the Chargers quarterback? What are the Raiders going to be? Outside of Kansas City, I looked at their schedule. I know who they're playing next year. I think this is my double win total team. I think Denver's the surprise in the league.
They went 7-9, so that would be impressive if they doubled
their
wins.
Okay, they're not going to double their win total. Okay, but you all think they were cruddy last year. They went 7-9.
No, they were a tough team.
They were a tough out last year. So I think Denver's a 10-win football team. First of all, they got hosed early in the year against Chicago on a horrible call. They lost 2 games early in the year on last-second field goals. Denver is my double the win. It's 11 wins. I'm going to 11. I really like Denver.
They're
going to
be a lot better than last year.
You think I'm crazy?
I like Denver last year, and I like Drew Lock a lot.
I think they found
their
guy.
He's got a little
Joe Burrow's going to be on the